Let's start off with 150 verse 6 of Psalms by saying, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Well, I don't know about you, but we've all had that morning when we're running late because we can't seem to remember the safe place we put our keys. Am I alone, or has somebody else have done this before? Keys or wallets, purse, glasses. According to a survey by Lost and Found by the app called Pixie, it's an app for iPhones that uses some type of augmented reality to actually show you where you misplaced your item or object. But the survey said it's a common occurrence with Americans that they spend at least 2.5 days a year looking for misplaced items. 2.5 days a year if you add up all the hours and minutes you're trying to find where you locate it. And I know that personally myself, if I can't find my wallet in the dedicated places that I have it, I'd start praying, Lord, please help me find that. Please direct me to where, and it's usually some place where I'm familiar with that I just absent-mindedly had just left it there. But I do know this, is when I find that object that's valuable, I definitely give him praise. And my praise goes something like this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for taking care of dummies like me. thanks for taking care of my just being a dummy, not remembering where I placed my eyes. So thank you for guiding me to that. And I'm just so thankful for when I find that billfold that I can't remember where I put it, or the car keys, where did I lay them? He makes you so happy. Top misplaced item in America. Can you guess what it is? Cell phones. Those are among the list. Cell phones are among the list. But TV remote control. It's the one we misplace the most. I know I've had that thing slide sound so many times in my rocker recliner, and I'm having to reach down way down there or tip it over to find it. But at least 71% of us lose the TV remote control once a month. It's followed by cell phones, as Kesha mentioned. Car and house keys follow, and as well as glasses. Now, I've seen some of you misplace your glasses when you have them on your head. Yeah, that's kind of embarrassing when that happens. But they also misplace shoes. I'm not sure how that happens. I figure that just throw them in the closet, and it's there. But what's more interesting as well is that we collectively spend $2.7 billion each year replacing the items that we lost. That's kind of astounding, $2.7 billion. And, you know, more than half of us are regularly late for work due to those frustrating searches that you can't find your keys, or perhaps maybe you've done like I've done before, head off to work down the road and get about 2 or 3 miles down the road and realize you forgot your billfold in your pocket, have to turn around, come back and get it, and then head back on your way to work. When asked which items they misplaced at least once a week, the most common items were in order, like I said, TV remotes, cell phones, car keys, glasses, shoes, wallets, and purses. What's also interesting I found in this report was that millennials are twice as likely as baby boomers to lose their stuff. Now, I thought that would be reversed. I figured baby boomers couldn't remember where they placed their teeth. But it's amazing that millennials, and they attribute this factor because they said it's all because of multitasking. We're doing so many things, especially the millennials. They're so smart. They just do so many things at once. And that's the blame for cause for misplacing a lot of the items. And with almost all of the Americans, or most of them, trying to juggle more than one task, this leads them in forgetting things where they place their valuables at. Most common places to misplace your items: around the house or in the car. Those are the two most common places, the house or the car. First place that people look when they're searching for a lost item is, ladies usually go to their purse or bag, followed by the couch cushions. How many of y'all dug in those couch cushions? Pockets of the previous day's clothing that you wore, and around their beds or under their beds. So those are the most common places that people look if they've misplaced items. And it makes sense. I mean, you forget something, you don't check your pants. I've done that plenty of times. Pants I wore the day before. Couch cushions. When I was a kid, I loved the couch cushions. My dad always had change fall out of his pocket in the couch cushion. And so that's where I got most of my spending money. So dig in those couch cushions. You'll never tell what you'll find in there. But I don't know if you've ever heard about it, but in London, England, there's an official government office for lost and found items. It's the London Transport's Lost Property Office. And it's been there since 1933. And I almost think that you could probably make a Netflix series out of this, of the stuff that they've received, the weird things. But this is where the lost items have been found, or in London's transportation systems, such as the subways, the buses, or cabs. These items are brought in and to be reclaimed by those who perhaps have lost them. And every year, about 150 to 200,000 items are dumped in the Lost Property Office. This is where the officials try to attempt to locate the owners. If they can't, they'll donate it to some worthy cause if it's beneficial. Of course, you don't want to donate someone's false teeth. I don't know if they'd wear them or nothing, but they donate the items that they can to something that'll be beneficial if the owners haven't picked it up within a certain amount of time. And every year, people have lost wheelchairs, false teeth, like I said, watches, backpacks, and lunch pails, umbrellas, and cell phones, and what have you. In March of 2017, the report came out that said this included 1,200 items arriving daily. 1,200 items arriving daily, which included 13,000 keys, 34,000 mobile phones, 48,000 purses or bags, and about 10,000 umbrellas were turned in. A lot of people take umbrellas in London, as you know. Some of the odd things that have been turned to this Lost Property Office includes urns with human remains. Matter of fact, they're still holding one for 7 years now because no one's picked it up. Full-size house carpet, a judge's wig. Enough musical instruments have been turned in or found to start someone's own band or orchestra. A suitcase full of money has been turned in, as well as a human skull and a lawnmower, of all things. And then, of course, you know, when you peruse the lost and found ads in the newspaper, who could forget that famous lost and found ad that says, lost dog, brown fur, some due to missing from mange, blind in one eye, three legs, slightly arthritic, and goes by the name of Lucky. So that's a famous lost and found ad. But, you know, this morning, as we come to worship our Father and to worship Him through the song and word, you may be a good person, you may be a nice person, but the truth is that if you look at it in the big scope of life, you and I don't have a whole lot of worth and value if you look at it, unless Jesus finds both you and I. Amen? Would you agree with me on that? And He brings out of you and I all of that potential that nobody else perhaps can see. I mean, as I look out among you here today, I can't see all of your potential. I do see a lot of it from the spiritual gifts that I've seen enacted from you, from the Holy Spirit, and how you've demonstrated that through the ministries that you performed and the ministries that God has led you in. But many of you still have a lot of potential that you don't even realize you have yet. And you'll find that when you surrender your life to Him. And He'll reveal those things slowly as your faith increases in Him, and the Holy Spirit just reveals those gifts that you have through the Spirit. A lot of you have a lot of potential in here today, and you don't know it. In our passage this morning in Luke chapter 15, let's begin reading with verse 8. What woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp or sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors to come and rejoice with me. For I found a coin, found a piece of silver that was lost. And then Jesus goes on to say, the angels rejoice over every lost soul that is found. I want to speak to you this morning about the lost coin. My message title is A Penny's Worth of Faith. And after you read this story, you think, why would a lady call all her friends to find a coin that she lost? Who, or more or less, who would come over to celebrate with her, drop what they're doing to celebrate that she's found a lost coin? Well, you have to understand the background of this passage, and it has a lot to do with the bridegroom and the bride giving her 10 coins to sew in her veil, and just the promise and that it holds, and if she loses one of those coins in her veils, it's a big deal. So there's a lot of background with that story. But in this whole chapter of Luke chapter 15, it's referred to as the lost and found column of the Bible. Because in this chapter, it has three objects. It has a lost sheep, it has a lost son, and it has a lost coin. Now, the sheep in our Bible, in our chapter today, it was lost unintentionally. The sheep didn't intend to be lost because the sheep loved the shepherd. The sheep loved the pasture that it was grazing in, and it loved the fold of the sheep, and that had fellowship with the sheep. But somehow, little by little by little, the sheep began drifting so far that it ended up not being able to find its way back. And so it was lost, unintentionally. It didn't mean to be lost. And then we know that the coin was lost by the fault of another. It couldn't lose itself. The coin had to be lost by someone else. The woman lost the coin. And that's similar to the way a person can be lost, by the fault of another. It goes all the way back to Adam. And we're all lost by the fault of another. Not Pastor Adam, but Adam in the Bible. Just to clarify that. But sometimes maybe you weren't raised in a family that perhaps honored God, and you didn't come to church a lot, and they really didn't recognize God, or they never said grace before you ate your meal. Sometimes maybe you were raised in an environment or an atmosphere that perhaps never introduced you to God. Or maybe you were part of a different religion, a false religion, and you were just lost by the fault of someone else. And then there's the third one, the son who was willfully lost. He took himself out of the father's house, the prodigal son. He made his decision to leave the father's house and to live a sinful and wretched life. And what's amazing in all three of these stories in Luke is that it shows you the wages that sin has. For example, the sheep, it ended up in the wilderness. The silver coin, it ended up in darkness. And of course, the son, he ended up in the pig pen, the muck and the mire. But then also in this chapter, we see a beautiful picture of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In every one of those three stories in this chapter, because we see a picture of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. He goes and finds the lost sheep. And then when he finds it, he puts the sheep on his shoulders and he takes it back rejoicing. And that's Jesus. And then we see a picture of the Holy Spirit as well. We see that with the woman and the lost coin, when she was lighting her candle and she was sweeping away the dirt to find the lost coin. And that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It brings revival in our lives. It brings the fire and it brings the cleansing on us inside. Amen. And it feels so good when you get saved, when you invite Christ into your life, and the Holy Spirit does His part because He begins sweeping all the dirt out of your life. And He turns the light on in our life, and we get it, what God's really like. And you feel so clean inside, and it's hard to describe it, that the beauty that has, and the newness that you feel inside inwardly, until you truly repent before Jesus and give Him your life. The guilt. You don't realize the guilt and the shame that you're carrying until it's swept away by the Holy Spirit. And then we see the father in the prodigal son story. If you remember the prodigal son story, it was the father who runs to the Son. So we see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We see, for example, the Father, He thought it concerning our salvation. The Son, He brought it. And the Holy Spirit wrought it in our lives. And thank God, hopefully, many of you in here today, I know that you got it in your life. And that's why we come today and each and every Sunday to celebrate this morning, along with the angels in heaven, when someone, a child of God comes to God. The angels rejoice. Not just a little hand clap, they rejoice because they understand the importance of that. Shouting takes place in heaven when a lost sheep or a coin or a son or a daughter is found again who has perhaps drifted away or become lost. That's important. God considers you important. He don't just say, well, I'm glad old knucklehead finally came back to church. He doesn't have that attitude. He cherishes your love because He created you from the innermost being of another. He made you the personality that you have. Whether you like that or not, He made you for a purpose. I heard a story about a man who said that he was raised in tremendous poverty during his life, all of his life, and he told about how poor that he was raised, and then he found Jesus Christ, and God blessed him, and God raised him after he became a child of God and became involved in the church and ministry. And he told about just how poor he was raised. And eventually, he was able to get a house. God blessed him with a house, a nice care, all those things God's blessings bless you and I with. God blessed him with. And he was so moved by the goodness that God had blessed him with that he made a covenant with God. He made a covenant, he made a personal commitment to God that if he ever saw a penny lying anywhere, whether it be on the sidewalk or whether it be in the grass or in the mud or anywhere he found a penny, if he saw that penny, he would never walk past that penny without picking it up in his appreciation for God by saying, I appreciate everything that you've given me and everything that you've done for me. It was a personal conviction that he had in his life. It was a vow that he made to God. Did you know today that if you have 2 cents in your pocket, you're among the richest people in the world? Not America, but the world as a whole. If you have 2 cents in your pocket, you're among the rich people. So, he said every time from that point forward that he saw a penny, he would see value in that penny and pick it up. And you know, sometimes we'll see a penny and sometimes we may pick them up, may not. But let's be honest, for the most part, sometimes we don't really care about pennies, right? I mean, sometimes you just pull up to the coffee window and they give you back the change and you don't want it to clutter up your car tray or whatever. You've got enough in there and you just say, keep the change. Because, you know, it's just pennies. Just pennies. Who cares, right? But to this man, it was a conviction that he had and he made in his heart. So every time he would see a penny in the grass and pick it up, he even mentioned that sometimes he would see pennies in the nasty streets and where the water comes down the building from the drain and all of that. And it maybe would have slime or gunk over this penny. And he would pick it up still out of his commitment to God. And he'd wrap it up in his handkerchief, of course, and keep it from, you know, getting dirt and stuff in his pocket or on his clothes. But he said he did this for many, many, many months. And then he went to church one Sunday. And he went into the bathroom. And he looked down in the toilet. And guess what he saw? Saw a penny. And he said, as sure as I was standing there, I felt the Holy Spirit in my heart say, are you really going to keep your word? Do you really appreciate it? And he said, I did. He said he reached down and he picked that penny up. Now, I'm sure he went and washed it off at the sink and probably came out and shook a lot of people's hands. afterward. That's why we're not doing that here. We give you the fist bump. But, you know, a penny means nothing unless somebody values it. It really doesn't. When you think of a penny, though, it's kind of amazing because you can't really buy anything with a penny. I mean, they're not worth much. I don't even know if you can get bubble gum still today for a penny. I remember back in the day you could. Double bubble or super bubble. Go to the store and you buy some of that, but I'm not for sure. Maybe you can, but they're not worth much. Well, back in 1995, the United States Mint in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, they were making a new run of pennies. And a lot of people would say, well, why? Why would you even want to have more pennies? And they debated whether or not the government should stop making pennies anymore. But here's why they cited the government still needs to make pennies. It's important. I'll tell you why in a minute. But many debated, why is the government still making these? Did you know that it costs a penny and three quarters to make one penny? For the government to make a new run of pennies, it costs 1.76 cents for them to make a new penny. And so they said, why are you doing this? Not making this up, it really does. The government loses three quarters of a penny every time it makes a penny. And so some would say, well, why do you keep making these pennies? Why don't we just do away with them? Well, let me tell you this. If you did away with the pennies, you'd have to move up to the next coin. That's a nickel. And if you've ever understood what a one per penny or two per penny sales tax does, you realize that the money that brings in is tremendous because it involves every dollar that you make. And so rather than jumping up to a nickel, let's just leave the pennies alone. And everybody said amen, because that's enough that you need to take out of the dollar. But it's really something how a penny can be considered worthless unless somebody sees value in it. Well, like I said, back in 1995, the U.S. Mint that I was talking about that was creating these thousands and thousands of new pennies, they made about 1,000 or so of them before they realized that they had to catch a problem, and they noticed that the words on the penny were blurred from the ones that they were making. The words on the penny that were blurred was, "In God we trust." It was flawed. So they stopped the mint immediately, and they fixed and corrected the die that they made the pennies from. But somehow, these pennies that were flawed went out, and collectors found out about these pennies. So now these flawed pennies became very valuable, and they increased in value to the tune of 2.5 million%. And even though you wouldn't know it, or probably I wouldn't catch it with my eye, but because the words "In God we trust" were blurred, because like I said, who really looks a lot at pennies? But those pennies were actually more valuable by far than just a regular penny. As a matter of fact, today, if you find one of those pennies with the words "In God we trust" are blurred, it's worth about $255. If you can find one of those pennies. Now everybody's digging in their pockets to see if they got that penny. It's really something that you could have that kind of value in your pocket and not even know it. It may be in your pocket. It may be in the cushions of your couch. It could be lying somewhere in some dirt or slime or maybe some gully. Or maybe you even bought some coffee or drive through at a fast food restaurant and you could have dropped out of your hand, rolled down the curb to some mud puddle or something. Maybe the penny's been there a long time. It's in there in the muck and mire. But somebody who sees and somebody who knows, even though we would call those pennies flawed in 1995, we'd call them bad pennies or mismarked pennies or flawed pennies, similar to us, if you look at it, you know, when we those pennies who have lost their trust in God, because it's flawed, it's blurred, because the word has become blurred, we would say they don't believe like they used to believe, if you compare it to people. They don't trust like they used to trust because the words have become blurred in their lives. Maybe they're in the muck and the gunk as well. They've involved themselves in activities. But the truth is, even though it's worth $255, it's useless if somebody does not find it who sees worth in it. Because it's worth something when somebody's able to find it and realizes that that penny they have is valuable. And so what I'm trying to say to you this morning is when we read the story from the book of Luke, it talks about the woman who has the lost coin, and she understands that this coin was valuable enough for her to light a candle, to take a light, light the candle to try to look for it, and to take a broom and begin sweeping her whole house searching for that lost coin. And when I think about the coin, that the lifespan of a coin, if somebody doesn't find it, if somebody doesn't see any value in those coins, it's just a matter of time when that coin is passed down from hand to hand to hand, from pocket to pocket, from place to place, from store to store, from location to location. And at some point, it begins to fade. That coin begins to fade. And at some point, it begins to become just a worthless penny. And that's kind of how our life is without Jesus finding us, seeing the value in us. We just get passed on down through life. Like I said earlier, you may be a good person, may not do a lot of bad stuff. You may be a nice person. Maybe you're good at treating people nice and have a real personality that treats people nice, and everybody loves you. But the truth is, in the big scope of life, we don't have a whole lot of worth other than just what we can drum up ourselves. And you and I don't have a lot of value unless Jesus finds us and he brings out of all of us that potential that he wants to bring. All the potential that nobody else can see in us, that nobody else has any idea or how much value that we have inside of us. Fact is, you could have one of those pennies in your pocket right now and it could be worth $255. But it's not worth anything, though, unless somebody recognizes that. I mean, you could have had a blurred penny in your pocket and say, huh, that's kind of weird. Stick it back in your pocket. But somebody knows that that thing's worth $255. When somebody recognizes that, and that's the power that Jesus Christ has in our lives, and it's amazing. Amen? I mean, the whole gospel can be summed up in the fact that when God sees the worth in people that nobody else sees, that he sent his son to die on a cross for us, that our God is a God who sees even when our trust in him has become blurred in our lives, when our faith is being tried so severely that sometimes we even question, God, are you really out there? Well, we went to a memorial service yesterday for a dear lady that's really precious in Choctaw, Lori Lang, and she's become a real icon because she's just become so involved in so many aspects of the Choctaw community, especially with sports and things like that. So we had a memorial service yesterday from her passing from COVID, but just 6 months earlier we had a memorial service for her son who she lost. And so you have to wonder for the dad, God, what's going on? What lesson do you have for me here? Are you really there? Do you really care for me? I've lost my son. Now I lost my wife. I'm raising 4 grandkids. What's going on, God? Maybe in our lives, sometimes our talents and our gifts become covered with filth and the muck and mire because we've strayed from using them. I mean, everybody else looks at us like we're pretty worthless. But there is one. There is one who lights the candle for us. There is one who begins to come with a broom and he starts sweeping and he starts searching while saying, you know, they don't see what I see in them, because I really know you. And he starts sweeping and searching. They don't know the value and the worth that I see that is in you and that is in me. But yet we still try to continue to haunt ourselves with whispers in our lives by saying, I've messed up. I failed. I thought I could be a better daddy. I thought I could be a better husband. I thought I could be a better mother, a better wife. I thought I could have been a better daughter. I would have never dreamed that I'd be this kind of son who causes my parents grief. And we sometimes don't see any value in us. But I know that there's one who sees value in every one of us. And it's mind-boggling how he can take a life and he can pick it up out of the muck and in the mire, and he can wash it and he can clean it and he can put it in his pocket. He finds value in it. And if we decide to stay in that pocket that God has put us in, his pocket, he's going to reach in and he's going to say, I'm going to use you. And I'm going to use everything that you've been through in your life. I'm going to use every time that you cried yourself to sleep. I'm going to use your shame. I'm going to use the pain that you've encountered in this life. I'm going to use the trials that you have gone through and may still be going through. I'm going to use those attacks that the enemy has attacked you with. I'm going to use everything that you've been through in your life, because I've been waiting for this moment to use you. I see the 2.5 million percent worth in you that nobody has ever looked at you and saw. And today I'm telling you that if you'll say, Lord, use me. If you'll say, Lord, spend me as you will. Use me as your vessel. He'll astound you in what he'll do. Now, I want to tell you, if you do say that and ask that of him, he will use you. And it'll probably be in a circumstance you never thought it would be. When you say, Lord, use me as a vessel, he's not going to say, oh, Eric, I'm going to pour my Holy Spirit in you. And when you walk, blessings are just going to spout from you over everybody, everywhere you walk. No. He'll use you in a way that you haven't ever dreamed of, that catches you off guard, like someone coming up to you and needing to talk to you, or just some word of encouragement because they're just under such tremendous attack in their life from something, or they're just going through something very rough, and God just simply needs you to say one sentence, that God loves you and he cares for you. He may just need you to say that one sentence. It's really astounding. But he wants to get glory from you, out of your life, so that you can just live for more than yourself. You can live for the King. Because you see, the whole Bible, if you read it, it's a book about God finding those who are worthless, those who are flawed, those who are messed up, those who have in their lives blurred over in God we trust. Not perfect people, not strong people all the time, not people who are just on top of the world all the time, not people who are just seem to be winning all the time, but it's about flawed pennies. I think about Moses in the Bible. He thought he was going to be really something. He said, my mission is to deliver God's people. But then when he saw an Egyptian beating another Israelite, he killed the Egyptian. And he got in trouble. Somebody told on him. Somebody saw what they did, told on him. And watch this. The penny gets washed out. And it goes into the desert for 40 years. And he gets covered up with sand and dirt. And nobody thinks he's worth anything. He's been flawed because he killed somebody. And I'm sure that even his trust in God became blurred out there in that desert. And he may have become disillusioned in himself by listening to those haunting voices, by saying, I thought God was going to use me. I thought God was going to use me to open some doors. I thought God was really going to bless me because I've been obedient as I can to him. I went before the Pharaoh. I thought God was going to raise me up and was going to do mighty things, because I grew up in the Pharaoh's palace. I thought God was going to raise me up. But you know what? He says, now that I'm in this desert, I'm just covered up. I'm just pretty much a worthless lost coin. But then there came a time when God says, I'm going to light my candle. And I'm going to get the candle. And that candle was the burning bush. Remember? And he set the bush on fire. And he said to Moses, he said, I'm bringing my broom. And I'm going to come sweeping. And I don't care how much sand and silt and dirt has covered you. For I'm bringing my broom. And I'm going to clean you up on the inside. And put a fire in you. Now go out there and do what I've called you to do. And God sent that worthless shepherd. And made him into a deliverer. A deliverer that brought 2.5 million, kind of sounds like $255, right? Brought 2.5 million Israelites to freedom. That's how much one worthless penny that only God could see value in was able to use for his plan. And that story in the Bible goes over and over and over. God finds worthless people, that flawed people, that have gone through such severe trauma in their lives and failure and mess up that their trust in God has become blurred upon their life. And they're unable to fix themselves no matter how much they try. Maybe they become addicted. Maybe they become messed up. And everybody looks at them and say, they're worthless. They're never going to amount to anything. But God comes along and says, where's my broom? Where's my candle? I know some things about her. I know some things about him that they don't even know about themselves that I'm going to do in their life. Then you look in the Bible and you dig in it and you find a guy like Amos. I'm not talking about famous Amos, the cookie king, but you know, the book of Amos, one of those little hidden books in the New Old Testament, one of those prophets in the Old Testament. Really a great book. It has some classic verses in it. One of the classic verses in the Bible found in the book of Amos is Amos 5:14, which says, seek good and not evil that you may live, and thus may the Lord God of hosts be with you, just as you have promised us. But you know what the Bible said he did? He was a picker. He was a picker of sycamore trees, commonly known as a fig picker. Now, that's no big deal. You look at a fig picker, pretty much basically same as being a migrant worker. Anybody could have walked by and saw him working out there and said, you know, that guy's a hard worker. That probably ain't going to amount to much in life just by picking figs. And that's how people think. They take snapshot judgments of us. But God lit up a candle and he took a broom and he said to that man Amos, he says, I'm going to use you as a prophet of mine. Even though you started out being a fig picker, picking fruit from a tree, there's such value I see in you that nobody else sees. That I'm going to raise you up and give you the words of my mouth to tell the people of Israel. And you're going to write them in a book and that the people will be able to preach from and teach from for all eternity. That was Amos, one of those guys you hardly ever hear about. And then in the New Testament, you have Andrew, James, and John, who smelled like fish. Ugh. Had some body odors going on with them, probably more than we'd like to think about. But they were fishermen. And God says, I'm going to make you apostles in my church. Fishermen. Stinky fishermen. Who's going to be apostles in God's church. And their names go down in biblical history. But they were broken and they were flawed and they were blurred. And they were in a place where they couldn't get to him. But instead, Jesus came to them. For God sees value in blurred faith. For people who have fallen maybe in the gutter somewhere. And God says, I still believe in you, whether you don't believe in yourself or not. I'm going to sweep you all up. I'm going to clean you up so that you're able to give glory to me. Well, I have some good news for you today. And the good news is God is lighting his candle. He's bringing his broom this morning. And he's looking for you and he's searching for you. And if perhaps maybe if you've fallen, perhaps maybe during the pandemic. And let's be honest, I'm sure that many have. Many perhaps have fallen backwards a little bit. Many have lost some ground in their relationship to God. And perhaps maybe have fallen back to things that God has delivered you from. And maybe those things have become to grow up in our lives again. But the good news today is God is saying, I want you to walk with me spiritually. I'm coming with my candle and my broom to look for you because I value you. If you've messed up or you're in the gutter or you're in the muck, the mire, I find value in you and I'm going to come find you. And if something has a hold of you and you just feel so dirty that you can't even lift your hands in praise because you feel the demons laughing at you, I'm still coming after you because I value you. And I'm going to sweep and clean and use you for my glory. And I'm going to increase your faith and increase your value in my kingdom. What about you? Do you remember when he found you? Maybe you felt worthless. Maybe you felt insecure. Maybe your own family had even given up on you. But he never gave up on you. He will never give you up on, never give up on you because he loves you. He loves you so much that many of us don't even realize it. That's why during praise, we encourage you to praise his name and not just sing lip words to God. That's why during communion, we ask you to truly hold this to your heart and have fellowship with him. He loves you that much. Would you this morning just join me in saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Because, Lord, I don't know what you saw in me, but thank you. Thank you so much. Amen. You know, there's such a sweet anointing here today. A sweet anointing when people come back to the fellowship of God and praise his name. And right now, for those who love him, maybe you're watching online, the Holy Spirit is here. Holy Spirit is right there in that room. If you're watching online with you, he's speaking to us today who are in our church gathered to worship him. He's right here in this room, and he's speaking to us today. If you're far from God, let's be honest. Perhaps maybe you feel a little dirty inside. Jesus wants to cleanse you because he loves you. He wants to restore you because he sees your worth. He sees your value, not just for a penny's worth of faith, because he loves you and he loves me. So this morning, if you would please join me in prayer as we close. Lord Jesus, I receive what you did for me. I've seen the candle and I've seen the broom sweeping away. Save me and change me and clean me up on the inside. I need more than just outward religion. I need more than just coming to church. I need you, Jesus, to fill the inside of me. I need to feel that love again. I need to feel your touch again. Would you just touch me again today? Because I receive you as my Lord. I receive you as my King. I receive you as my Savior. And I am in your pocket. And I'm not going to jump out. I'm not going to stray away. Use me in your kingdom for your glory here on earth. I trust in you, God, for God I trust. God I trust. Lord, your coming is going to be here sooner than we think. And there will be a time when people will come to church and there will be no one there. Because you have returned and gathered your saints. Father, we don't want anybody left behind. You are coming soon. There's signs going on throughout this planet that we can see. So please, Father, restore us to you. Restore us. For I know that you see value in us. You see value in me. thank you for picking me up and washing me and shining us up, Father, for your glory. And the church said, amen and amen. Please stand this morning as we give the Lord the biggest praise offering and as we close singing to his name.